Okay, well, thanks very much. And now we have John Sullivan. He's the program administrator at the FSF, and he's going to be talking. He handles campaigns and resources. And we'll talk today about the Bad Vista campaign, covering, in fact, some of the stuff we've just been mentioning. So thank you.
Hello. My name is John Sullivan. I'm the program administrator at the Free Software Foundation. It's my fourth year working at the foundation. Basically, program administrator, I don't actually do any programming. Well, a little bit, but my job is more doing the communications work, organizing, doing a lot of the writing and editing and researching for the texts that you see coming out of the FSF, taking care of our websites. And especially in this last year, like all the things Peter covered, helping to try to build some more active movements and communicate to the general public about some of the issues that we've always been concerned about. I'm going to talk about Bad Vista, but I want to go through some of the other things for a couple minutes that have also happened over the course of the last year. One of the things I do is help work with the GNU webmasters on taking care of GNU.org, which has always been a very volunteer-run website. The chief webmaster of GNU.org is a volunteer. And right now is Matt Lee, who is based in the UK. About a year ago, we were in sort of bad shape. We had about 400-something open tickets in the webmaster's queue. This website was starting to, suffer from a little bit of crufts. So I devoted more of my time to helping out with it, and Matt then came on board and produced a very nice design, which we've been implementing since then. It looks not good on the screen, does it?
Nothing looks good on that
screen. You've all seen it, though, I'm sure, right? The better if I... Yeah. I hear this is what it looks like in Internet Explorer. Well, you get the idea. It's... Also, the improvements that have been made have really made it a lot more accessible for people using both graphical browsers and the console browsers. And it continues to get better all the time. We have a really active crew of webmasters now, but we're still always looking for more. If any of you are interested in just devoting a few hours a week, we have a free Node channel at GNU Webmasters. And you can also email Matt at chiefwebmaster@gnu.org. Also, if you can do any translations, we have a very active translation team that's been able to produce this website in many, many different languages. And I'm very thankful we have volunteers all over the world working on this. It's really, really excellent. I also want to talk about the hardware list that we have on the FSF.org website and the resources section, which is something I talked about last year. We were just getting it going, and it's been a little bit slow, but with GNUSense, we have been able to get a lot more information listed up here. Now that we have a distribution that doesn't use any firmware, binary proprietary firmware, if someone can install that and use their computer successfully, that means that they're using hardware that's very supportive of free software. So if they can use GNUSense and they can tell us what their hardware is, then we can add that information here. Especially people are often concerned about wireless drivers. So we have, we've updated the information here on the page quite a bit. It is tricky. Manufacturers lie. Well, they don't lie, but they change the model number. They change something inside the model without changing the model number. So you may occasionally still get burned by something that's on this list, and we try to keep it up to date. Any information you have, you can send us, and we will add it to this. And this way, when people are shopping for a system, they have a good idea what hardware to buy. I'm looking forward to us getting new desktops in the office. We have a plan in a couple months to get desktops that will run free BIOS and a completely free kernel. And of course, all the packages are free. If you are interested in volunteering and can help out for a couple hours a week, there's lots of websites out there already that have information about hardware that's compatible with Linux kernel. The problem is that they don't differentiate between devices that require proprietary drivers or proprietary firmware and devices that work with a fully free system. So there's much more information out there already that we need to collect and add to this database. We just need some people with some time to go through those sources and screen out the information, the devices that shouldn't be listed, when your concern is not just compatibility, but also the freedom of the devices. So please talk to me about that if you have time to help, and we'll get you set up to edit the page and work with other people on this. The jobs page, not doing so well. We want to list here free software jobs, jobs for people in free software who want to work on free software and get paid for it. Those jobs are out there. We know they're out there. We have large companies contributing to free software all the time, and those companies are hiring. And usually people have to pay when they want to list a job advertisement. So the fact that we're willing to provide people with advertising to find good candidates at no cost to them should be appealing. We just need some people to do some legwork and go out there and contact different companies, show them that this opportunity is there, talk to some headhunters, let them know that this is a good place where they can advertise the positions that they're dealing with. I do have one volunteer who just got started working on this, so I think we'll see some improvements here shortly, but we could use a couple more people to help out with it. Once we get some jobs listed up here, then we'll work on making this kind of a different design and a more usable searching interface, that kind of thing. The last thing I want to cover besides that is the GNU audio video repository, which we've started to invest a lot more effort into updating. We've been more diligent about having Richard's speeches recorded, and we want to have all of those up here. We need a couple people to help get videos and get them uploaded, sometimes get them converted to the right format. So if you're available, if you're interested in helping promote free audio formats and in helping to coordinate this kind of thing, give me a shout. Okay, so Bad Vista. This is a campaign that we started in December, in late November, earlier December, to counteract the launch of Microsoft Windows Vista, to help take the publicity that they are generating from their launch to promote the alternative that we would like people to adopt, which is fully free operating systems based on GNU Linux, such as GNU Sense. We figured since they were going to be spending $500 million on a press campaign and doing events all over the country, that we might be able to get some mention for free software in there. Reporters, when they write about things like this, are usually looking for some other perspective. You know, what's the alternative? What can you compare Vista to? And we wanted free software to be that alternative. So far, it's worked out pretty well. You go to Google and you type in Vista. Here we are. I don't know who these Wikipedia people are, but we're going to get them. And you know, maybe even we can get higher. But this means that anybody, whether they know anything about free software at all, is searching for information about Vista. They're saying, should I buy a computer that has Vista? Should I upgrade my system to use this? They're going to go to a search engine. They're going to type it in. So this is what we want to be. We want to be the site that people find when they're trying to make this decision. We want to be there saying, no, you shouldn't do that. There are lots of reasons you shouldn't do that, that you won't hear in the Microsoft advertising material. You should try this other system instead. And this is how this fits into our year of the upgrade theme, you know, for this year's meeting, which is Microsoft wants this to be the upgrade. You know, to us, this is a downgrade. This is just making things worse for your system. The upgrade that you should be that people should be considering is an upgrade away from restrictive software towards free software. That's an actual upgrade. So we tried to give our impression of what Vista is, which is this image at the bottom. Perhaps what the archaeologists that Peter mentioned will find, taking computers that are perfectly good and not only literally but also metaphorically turning them into garbage. They want you to buy new hardware in order to run Vista for no other reason than to make your computer better at restricting the things that you were previously able to do with it. So you have to throw out your old machine. That's bad. That's why people like the Green Party and other groups are getting on board with the campaign. But also just metaphorically, you used to be able to do things with your computer that they don't want you to be able to do anymore. So we wanted to communicate that Vista. You know, a Vista is supposed to be a pleasant view, but Vista, Microsoft Windows Vista, is far from that. So we launched this campaign. We got a little bit of feedback. As you might imagine, we got a lot of suggestions. Like people wanted to know when we were launching. BadOSX.org for the benefit of the recording. Then we had somebody offer to host for us. BadXP.org. And then there are the occasional snide regular expression jokes. Yes, we are opposed. We have been trying to stop adoption of proprietary software for 20 plus years now. And it's not just about stopping Vista, and it's not just about stopping Microsoft. It's about stopping proprietary software in general and promoting free software as an alternative. But Vista did provide a unique opportunity to get that message across. And that's why we chose to focus on it at this time. But also, it's the year of the upgrade. It's that so many institutions and people are being forced to confront this choice now about, do they want to upgrade? Do they want to install this? So to the extent that we've had obstacles, troubles, convincing people to try free software, often it's just inertia. I don't want to change my operating system. It does what I need to do. I don't want to mess with my computer. I don't like to tinker with it. I just like things to work. So Microsoft is forcing people's hands now, essentially. They're saying, you have to do this. It's starting now, and in a couple years, it'll be even worse after they choose to stop supporting their previous versions. So we want to take that opportunity to provide our alternative. So they're going to have to go through the trouble of installing something anyway. It might as well be free software. So the question, of course, is what exactly is wrong with Vista? The primary problem with it is its proprietariness, which has been the problem with, of course, all versions of Windows and proprietary operating systems. The license prevents you from sharing it, modifying it, studying it, learning from it. The Vista license is worse than its predecessors, though. So in that sense, it's a downgrade, not just in the operating system, but also in the licensing and the terms that you're able to use it by. It's hard to figure out. There's a lot of different licenses, a lot of different versions of Vista. But some basic things are, if you buy a new computer that has Vista on it, you are not allowed to transfer that version of Vista to any other computer ever. So if you buy a machine and it comes with Vista, you can't move it. You can't copy it. It's got to stay with that machine. If you buy a retail version of Vista separately in a box, then you can move it to a new machine, but you have to delete it off the old machine completely. People have always known these things, similar restrictions about not being able to copy it. They often just disrespected them and pirated the software. We are at an advantage now because Microsoft is not just writing those terms down on a piece of paper, but they're also enforcing them to a greater degree through annoying technological measures that are really putting the restrictions right in people's faces, which is another reason why we wanted to take this moment to promote free software, because we've been trying to convince people for years to pay attention to the terms that they have to agree to in order to install Microsoft products and proprietary products. It's really easy to ignore them because there's nobody knocking at your door making sure you're complying with them. But now you have things like Windows Genuine Advantage, double speak terms if we've ever heard them, which are there to make sure that you're complying with the license. Of course, it's a computer program, so it messes up sometimes. And there was a study done a couple months ago reported that 500,000 people have been misidentified, even by Microsoft's own terms, for having pirated versions of Windows, when in fact they were legitimate versions of Windows. So people are being forced by Microsoft to confront the terms that are required to use proprietary software. Gives us a good position to be able to step in and show that it doesn't have to be that way. Beyond the licensing, there's also, of course, the DRM, the Digital Restrictions Management, which is, a lot of people say, is the primary reason for Vista. there's a lot of aspects to this. The debate kind of started with the article by Peter Gutman called A Cost Analysis of Windows Vista Content Protection, which if you haven't read yet, you should definitely take a look at. It turns out to be a lot more than a cost analysis, really. It goes through in details the different technologies that are involved in DRM, what's affected, and what type of impact that's going to have on your system. And it turns out that it does, in fact, take CPU cycles and resources to make the restrictions operate. In response to this, Windows responded, the Windows Vista team. Will Windows Vista content protection features increase CPU resource consumption? Yes. Now they go on to say, the use of those cycles is inevitable because consumers are getting a benefit, supposedly. Users are getting a benefit because they're able to play this premium content, as they call it. Yeah, mal content. So these features are necessary, and this is another phrase that I love, for people who want to have a great next generation content experience. Yeah.
I mean, you
have to think so, right? The Vista launch started with share your wow moments. The wow starts now. I mean, this is really some drug. The Vista team's response to these criticisms was just to say, and I've been meaning to write this article for a long time now, but somebody else could do it if you want. How many ways can you say it's not our fault? There's 20 questions here, and nearly every one of them, it says, it's not our fault. It's not our fault. We're just providing the framework on which media providers can hang their policies, as they refer to them. Well, we know what happens when you provide that framework. We got a preview with the Zune, which turns out Zune provides some gradation for what kinds of restrictions media providers can have. And I don't think it was much of a shock that a large percentage of them decided that you cannot share their music from the Zune to another Zune, despite the fact that the device allows you to do that. Not only that, but they won't tell you that beforehand. So you don't find out until you actually attempt to do it that the music you purchased is not actually transferable, even under the expiration type of DRM that the Zune has on it. So Microsoft provides a framework. Other people are going to take advantage of it. The question is, first of all, is it their fault? Second of all, does it matter if it's their fault? Well, I don't know. I have a hard time believing that it's not their fault. Microsoft has what percentage of the desktop market where people are going to be playing these media files, and they're claiming that they got pushed around by the media companies? Because the media companies, I'm sure, would have just turned to that other computer company that controls 90% or whatever of the computer desktop market and taken their product to them, I'm sure. It seems likely that if Microsoft chose to, they could stand up to that. They decided that that wasn't a good business decision for them, and they made that decision, and they should be held accountable for it. So trying to pass the buck onto the media industry saying, we're just providing what they asked for is not acceptable. Whether or not it's a fault or not doesn't really matter. They have the power to force change. They have the power to stop DRM as being a standard in media and home entertainment things. So there's nothing wrong from that perspective with targeting them and focusing attention on them as being responsible for the phenomena of DRM. They have the power to make change. They can do it. We should ask them to do it. We should refuse to buy their products, use their products, until they do that. There's also the fact that they do benefit from the DRM, which they kind of try to sweep under the rug. But these restrictions all also create a relationship that locks you into the hardware that they have, or to the software that they have, and the hardware that's certified by that software. So it's not as though they just have the stuff on there. They benefit. People will buy Microsoft PCs because they have the DRM that will enable them to play these media files that they want to play. So it's a lock-in relationship. They do benefit from it, and we should hold them responsible for that. Now, DRM just isn't about entertainment, of course. Anybody who may have tried to copy some passages out of the 9/11 Commission report published by the government from the PDF might have discovered that they couldn't copy it because it was under copy restrictions. Unless you used a free software PDF reader, which happened to not implement those restrictions. Of course, we all know the ebook stories about you have a copy of the Constitution, which tells you that you're not allowed to print it because it's an ebook. So as the more and more that personal computers become our interface to public information, information that's necessary for a democracy, the more concerned we should get about these kinds of restrictions. Yeah, it might only stop you from watching, you know, Armageddon in HD now or something, but in the future, these restrictions are going to have much more impact even than they do now. Besides DRM, well, related to DRM, we have the driver issue. Vista is taking steps to certify drivers, and they have the ability to revoke certifications from drivers for hardware. That's bad news for free software because it's going to put pressure on hardware manufacturers to not cooperate with the free software community. If they have to write, because part of being certified is being able to securely implement DRM, that means that they won't be able to release the specifications because of Microsoft pressure that we need to be able to write free software drivers. They've tried to say that's not true, but if you look at Gutman's paper, when he updated it and added in his FAQ section at the end, he answers their argument. The specs that will be prevented from being released by the DRM requirements are specs that we need to be able to write effective free software drivers. So driver revocation is a serious problem for us, and it's a counter pressure to something we're trying to achieve to get free software compatible hardware. The Windows update mechanism has also gotten a lot worse. People are describing it as mandatory now. So this is part of a promise that Microsoft made to the entertainment and media industries that DRM gets cracked. People circumvent it. What do they do about that? They force an update onto your machine to correct that. So you are buying into a relationship with Microsoft of dependency and accepting their ability to update the restrictions on your machine when they think it's necessary. There's plenty more out there. We have the NewsWatch section on badvista.org over on the right, where we're updating it daily with all the news stories that are talking about these problems to counteract phrases like great next generation content experience. It's not about spreading FUD, and it's not about being negative or just, you know, being negative about Vista. It's about making sure that these concerns get heard. You have to speak up and say these things when someone is trying to take so much of the freedom away. So what have we done about it so far? We have done quite a bit to help promote the free hardware calls that have been going on. We helped direct people to the Dell IdeaStorm website to vote for Dell to ship hardware that has free operating systems or no operating system at all on it. We also directed people to the survey that Dell posted subsequently after that to be more specific and ask people to request GNUSense or free distribution as an option when they purchase a computer from Dell. We did a similar Amazon tagging thing that Defective by Design did. If you go look at any of the Vista products on Amazon now, you'll find a lot of tags that were left there by us as another way to get the information out there. A lot of people participated in that action. We have also gone out to the street a bit. This is some of us in New York City, Times Square, present at the Vista launch at the Nokia Theater. That's the Windows tour bus. The bus driver was really sympathetic. You know, I thought maybe we'd be able to get on, but we couldn't do it. So you can see here the merging of the cooperation between Defective by Design and Bad Vista, with Defective by Design being with Vista being such a pusher of DRM. You know, it's important that we bring those things together. This is before we got brought into the free speech zone, which was behind this bus and in front of the bus behind it. So there's no better way to be heard than to stand between two tour buses in Times Square, let me tell you. But no, we did walk around and talk to a lot of people in Times Square. We handed out a lot of free software. It was very positively received. People were really excited and surprised by the idea that there's operating systems out there that aren't Windows, that can do all of the things that Microsoft Windows can do. So those are the kinds of things that we've done so far. We've gotten a good response. I think we've gotten a lot of feedback from people at our email addresses saying that it's helped motivate them to try something different. A few hundred people signed up for the campaign. The site's bookmarked by 600 or 700 people on sites like Delicious. You can see the Google ranking. So we're definitely getting the message out there. For our future plans, we want to talk to some different institutions and groups and help get them to amplify the voice and make sure that people aren't adopting Vista during this year of the upgrade. So one important area are the groups that Peter talked about, the nonprofit groups and the socially concerned groups out there who rely on computers now more than ever in order to be able to communicate their message. We need to talk to them and help them recognize that you can't be a successful force for social change in this society if you're relying on, if you have a dependency relationship, if you're relying on somebody who opposes your change as a means to provide your expression and as a way to communicate with people. So any group, it's not just the Green Party, you know, the Libertarian Party, any group that wants some kind of change in society should be using free software. They should be using a means of expression that enables them to operate freely and communicate their message freely, you know, without restrictions, without dependency on a corporation that opposes their interests. We also want to work with universities. College campuses are really having a difficult time with this choice. I've read a lot of articles in the last few weeks about universities that are looking at this and evaluating whether or not they want to install Vista. A lot of people are on the fence. Some people, unfortunately, have already made a pretty enthusiastic decision to go ahead with it, but you know, nothing too much has been done yet, so there's still time to communicate with computer science departments and with the president's offices and alumni departments at universities and let them know that they shouldn't be doing this. They should not be taking and installing operating systems on their campus that prevent people from learning, that prevent people from studying how they work, that implement restrictions on educational materials that they can't circumvent legally. So universities shouldn't be letting Microsoft tell them what can and can't be copied out of a document for research purposes. They shouldn't let Microsoft be telling their film students how much of a film can and can't be copied in the pursuit of their study. A university is founded on the idea of being able to build on the work of your predecessors, and restrictions like that stand in the way of education. When we get groups like that, larger groups, together and on board with a campaign, then we can go to the hardware manufacturers again with those groups' support and say, it's not just end consumers and small individual users who are concerned about this. It's institutions. It's people who buy a lot of your hardware and expensive hardware that are also concerned about this. And hopefully, when we get that weight on board, we'll be able to push even more in the direction of having free hardware provided. We also plan to do a lot more with the website in terms of adding an area to help people move towards free software adoption, making it easier for people new to free software, like people are going to find it through a simple Google search for Vista, to adopt and install free distributions like GNUSense. So we need help to do these things. And it's also not just about helping us, but also about doing your own actions, whatever you can think of to help get that kind of message across to people. Install fests with your user group, or letters to the editor, letters to your school, helping other people install free software. I think just about everybody in this room is probably pretty competent at being able to guide somebody through that process and show them, get them started on where they can find help. We have some graphics and t-shirts and stickers and that kind of promotional thing that you can use to help let people know about it. Unfortunately, we don't have the stickers for today, but they're coming soon. We do have some wallpaper that some of you might have seen on the site. We'd love to have some more things like this. Like, you know, Bruce talked about having your computer out in the open where people can see it and see what you're running. So, you know, these things are funny. They're not the whole story, but they certainly are a conversation piece to get it started and to get people asking questions about it. One of the main things that we could use is help with writing for the site and help with bookmarking interesting news stories. So if any of you are interested in doing that, please talk to me. As you can see, your article will have very high visibility, and it's a great chance for you to communicate arguments that you might have or something that you want to say. The most recent article is written by Matt Lee, who's the chief webmaster. More than happy to work with you on getting things put up here. And for suggesting stories, you can drop by poundfsf on Freenode, or just email info@badvista.org. And help us keep this going. I think that's about all I have. I've taken about my full time, but I'll take a few minutes of questions. Yeah.
In the members' newsletter, you commented about moving away from Plone and moving towards that other FIFO.
Towards Django, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that in the context of the question about the Zope 3 and 9. But there was no elucidation of what the issue with Zope 3 was.
Yeah, that's not actually so much by department, so I'm gonna deflect that question for the systems administrators who might want to answer it. I handle the scanning and templating and text updating, but I'm not so involved in the back end stuff.
One suggestion on hardware for video cards. Mm-hmm. It'd be helpful to have what resolutions are capable for a given video card. I know I have an older NVIDIA card. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point. We do, because it's never as simple as just support or not support. Well, it is sometimes as simple as not support, but it is often not as simple as supported. So we do want to, once we get a better baseline of basic information up there, I think we do want to have some information about gradations of support. Also for things like wireless cards, some of them you can't use in host mode. And so, you know, it's definitely more complicated than just works and doesn't work. Whatever happened to the letter to Bono?
It's still going. So it turns out that Jimbo Wells, he's a good friend of Bono. And so he's actually helping us with the messaging directly to Bono at the moment. So we're kind of keeping the hope and trying to get a resolution on that in a positive way. Of course, if we don't get to that point, then we've already had a few remarks from the management team. So but we're hoping that Jimmy can make
Yeah, we need some celebrities on our side of Vista. I don't know if you noticed, they enlisted football players, basketball players. You know your operating system's bad when. I think you're going to expect more of that trends. Yeah, I don't. What specific plans do we have? I have a long list of things to improve on Bad Vista in particular, being the newest one. But I think, and we're fortunate now. Thankfully, you know, with free software development on graphics and imaging programs coming along so well that doing things like this are much easier than they used to be for the FSF using free software. So. I think we will be doing more.
Do you have sort of anyone on staff who kind of does your kind of marketing communications?
It's done by a combination of people. I mean, I do a lot of it. I work with Peter on a lot of it, and with Deborah and Jeannie. So it's a team effort. I mean, it depends on the project. Basically, yeah. Okay, it's one more, yes.
Okay. On the subject of the cost of the Vista, I've also read that there are some cases in which your video output will be throttled.
Yes.
And it will look something like
constrained, like, they call it.
Like really bad compression with artifacts.
Like this? Yeah, it is. There were some weird concerns about that with medical imagery and things that they tried to address in their FAQ. But the bottom line is that, yeah, they provide a mechanism that people are going to use to reduce the quality of video output when they think that you don't deserve to be able to play whatever it is you're trying to play, whether or not that's accurate or not. Thanks.